Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show, the show that takes the mystery out of spirituality with your host, David Gagan, engineer, science director, scholarly researcher of life's mysteries, and author of The Endless Journey.
Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show. I'm host Dave Gagan, and today's show is titled Channeled Wisdom. Please note that all the chat room questions will be answered in the chat room during next week's show, as well as being posted on my website within a few days of the show. We encourage and welcome all your questions. Wisdom can be found in philosophy, religion, metaphysical writings, but it all comes from a common source, the spiritual realm. Wouldn't it be nice if we could get it straight from the source? Our guest today says she does just that. Lorna Adams is a psychic and a medium. In her book, They Are With Us, Advice from Spirit on Changing Your Life, Lorna claims that she has channeled this book directly from her spirit guides. This is a remarkable statement, and today she's going to tell us how she did it and what she learned in the process. Lorna Adams, welcome to the show, Lorna.
Hi, Dave. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here today. Now, to start out, you say, and I read your book, I liked your book, and you said in the book that you received your wisdom from your spiritual guides, and you actually wrote the book by channeling their thoughts. How did this process work?
Well, I've been doing that, channeling their thoughts and their help and guidance since I was a teenager, and which I'm nowhere near that anymore. So the process is a really old and very familiar one to me. So to me, it's just like really sitting here speaking with you. The book came along. They had given me a heads up and said I was going to be writing a book. And I said, okay, you just let me know when you want me to start. And so when I started out communicating with my guides when I was very young, I used something called automatic writing, which is described often as writing without conscious thought. And so a lot of people do this. Songwriters do this. People who write film, movies, screenplays do this. A lot of times they don't even know they're doing it. They think it's them. And it really is information that comes in from another dimension. As far as I haven't written any screenplays or anything like that. The information that I get from my spirit guides is always meant to help and to assist. And anything that comes through is always for your highest good.
So do you ask questions, Lorna, or do you just sit there and how do you know, one, when they're ready to talk, and you know, how does it work?
Well, it's pretty funny. That's a good question, because they had given me a heads up and said, okay, we're going to write a book. And I said, okay, sure, that's great. And so I would check in periodically with them and say, you know, is this a good time? And one day I was actually, which is pretty common, I was doing something mindless. I was washing dishes. And they said, okay, now's the time. And I was like, really? Now I'm washing dishes? And they're like, yes, now's the time. So often I tell people who are very eager to connect with spirit or someone who's passed, you know, in order for us to hear them, we've got to quiet our incessant minds that are constantly grinding about, you know, minuscule stuff, big stuff. It doesn't matter. So often I find for many people when they're doing something very run-of-the-mill, like a lot of times when I'm gardening or pulling weeds, they'll come through. The other night I was stepping out of the shower and a friend that we had passed away about a month ago, she came through. So, that's how it comes through for me, but it's very common for me because I've been doing this my entire life. That theme as far as doing something that allows you to clear the mind, you're really not thinking about anything very, very hard, they'll often come through. The unfortunate thing is a lot of people think it's them. They think it's their thoughts. They don't realize, well, where is this coming from? Is this spirit? Where did I get this idea from? you know, that light bulb moment. And really, most of the time, it's them.
That's really interesting. Why are they doing it? Why do they want you to write a book? What do they have a purpose here? They must.
That particular book that I wrote was to, they tell me, to be of service. I never expected to make, I never expected it to be like a bestseller. And plus it was getting my feet wet, as they describe. And it was a lot more work than I thought it was going to be. That's for sure. And so really the book is to, somebody called it the other day, which I thought was good. It's kind of like a life guide book. You know, it's, you know, it's not a novel, of course, by any means. It's a little book. And it's just meant really to help and to be of service. And that's what spirit guides are all about, to be of service.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of wisdom in the book, and I'm being a seeker, I find that very, very interesting, and so let's go through some of the things that that are in the book, and you know, maybe a good place to start is their comment about living in the present, and time only exists in the now. You know, why is this important? What's the implication of this?
Well, the interesting thing with spirit and spirit guides and these other realms and these other dimensions and, you know, universal, other parallel universes and that sort of thing, is they do not experience any time or space like we do. So as far as living in the now, they make a really good point. There is no past, because it's over with. There is no future. It hasn't happened yet. And there really is only the now. And so as human beings, we get very caught up, myself included, and, you know, worrying about the future, considering, or how's this going to come together and how's it going to work? And they always encourage myself and when I certainly when I do readings for people really to just stay in the now. The interesting thing is that spirit has a really a complete view of our life. And we have sort of a tunnel vision. We only see what's happening in the now. We don't see the bigger things, the synchronicity, the things that are beginning to unfold, starting to unfold or come together. We don't see that. They have the advantage of seeing that, which is part of the reason I'm able to do psychic readings. If that makes sense.
Well, it sort of makes sense. Yes, I think it does. One of the things that you said is your attitude, our attitude, is really important. And one of the things of our attitude is gratefulness. Mm-hmm. And you know, how does that fit into the world? How does, you know, why should we be grateful, especially if things aren't going well? You know, why should somebody say, gee, I'm really grateful my car just got destroyed this afternoon? What's the importance of gratefulness?
Right. Gratitude is a very infectious type of attitude. And you'll find that with the attitude of the cup is always half full, you'll find, number one, that you'll have a lot more peace in your life, a lot more acceptance, sort of surrendering to the what is. Because so many times we have no control over it anyway. And so what we tend to do as human beings, I think, because a lot of it is, this is the way we're wired, is we fight, we argue, we struggle, much like a five-year-old child. And I see it as like, you know, God or the creator trying to guide us and help us. And see, they can see again what is ahead of us or for us and saying, this is really in your best interest to not get this job. And we, you know, down here, like little, you know, we have our little tantrums and say, but I want the job. Why can't I have the job? I'm suited for the job. And, you know, lo and behold, 2 months later, the truly ideal job comes along. So it's so many times, I'm sure, you know, people listening have experienced this. In hindsight, we say, oh, that was such a blessing that I didn't get that other job because this job is about 100 times better than that other job. So that's part of it. And you also find when you're grateful for the really small things, and they say this, they've said this to me a couple of times, which is sort of funny, but it's, excuse me, it's really true in that to be grateful for the small things, running water, my legs work, I can breathe okay without any type of machinery, I can get around, I can walk my dog, I have a roof over my head, and the roof over my head is not the gospel mission. You know, and they're sort of sarcastic and funny. That's how some of my guides are. But it really is true. I mean, what a blessing it is to have a roof over our heads because many people don't. So it can always be worse. And they always suggest that we put things in perspective.
Yeah, I look at it from the perspective is that it's a positive thought. And the more positive thoughts we can have about others, the more positive energy we seem to attract to ourselves.
Absolutely.
And gratitude kind of fits into that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It does. It does very much so. And also it depends, you know, it's many of us, especially women, because I deal with a lot of women, and women, we tend to be extremely hard on ourselves and very judgmental. And then, in turn, of course, we're judgmental and harsh to others as well. And this helps nobody and nothing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, one of the things that came out in your book, and it's you said that we have each chosen the life we're living. You know, a lot of people don't see it that way. A lot of people see it as, boy, you know, I got stuck in this, or this has happened to me, or, you know, look what the world's done to me. But you point out in the book that's not really true. We have choices. We've made choices, and where we are is a result of the decisions we've made. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Well, that is, you know, of course, you're free to believe whatever you like. But I always believe, and always have believed that before we come into this life with our spirit guides guiding us, because they're with us from the beginning until the end, that we put certain life lessons and certain karmic lessons on our plate. And the plate represents this lifetime. And people will say, well, why in the world would I put these horrible, dreadful parents that I had, this awful family that I have, why would I have that? And it's always family that I find, those closest to us, the ones that we can't get away from. Those are the biggest and sometimes the harshest life lessons. And so why life lessons? And the point of those are to evolve, to learn, to grow. So hopefully these toxic people, you either choose to deal with them or you take a stand for yourself and say, I'm not going to allow you to be in my life. So those closest to us are some of the largest life lessons. But the key, of course, is to, to really grow and to learn from these difficult things that are put in our path when, in fact, we're the ones that put them in our path in the first place.
And we do it because we need it, because these are the if you will, the karmic lessons that we've probably haven't dealt with in the past life or dealt poorly with, and we need to readdress them and learn some other aspect of whatever that lesson happens to be.
Right.
And it's the tough people in our life. It's the, you know, when everything's going well, you really never know why, do you? You know, but when things go poorly, you understand all the little details because you get dragged through them all.
Yeah. A lot of times they say it is really like being dragged through the mud, you know?
It is. But that's where we'd learn the most.
Absolutely.
And if you can have gratitude, you can say, well, you know, it's gone. You know, I'm not going to rue over it. I'm not going to worry about what's happened in the past. It's, you know, what I learned is what I learned. I either learned enough or I didn't learn enough. But it's in the past. Now let's move on to what's next. And, right. And it's an easier way to go through life, certainly.
Yeah, and the other side of that is that I find, you know, so when the difficult times come and I sort of roll with it and go with it and don't have a breakdown or have a cow about it and sort of say, well, okay, this is now what's in front of me and sort of go with it, it really does soften it. It being the difficult time does not last as long. And the same with the good times. And so when the good, you know, the sort of harvest comes in, I think, oh, well, this is a really wonderful time as well. You know, isn't this great? But, you know, the only constant is change. And so the easier I take it, this is sort of like along the lines of not believing your own press. You know, someone says, oh, I can't stand her. She's just dreadful. I say, oh, okay, well, you're not going to please everyone. Or, oh, my God, she's just so great. You know, well, that's nice too. You know, so I sort of just stay in the middle ground when it comes to that. And things kind of flow in and out, sort of like just clouds passing through your day or your mind or your experience. Yeah. Just let them come and go.
Exactly. You know, I love some of your sections on change. And you say life is all about taking chances, which means being vulnerable, scared, uncomfortable, but the newness soon wears off. Talk about that. I think that's a a healthy way to go through life.
Isn't it so funny that it's when new challenges come up, we're so, oh my God. I mean, I know I can tend to be, oh my God, how am I going to pull this off? How can I do this? And literally, you know, 30 days later, you're doing it with one hand, you know, tied behind your back and you're not, you know, half paying attention. You know, that's just how we are. So, again, I just try not to get too terribly excited about anything. And so for me personally, it's about staying grounded in who I am and what I do. And I also, you know, am really not responsible, you know, for this. I'm just the conduit. I just pass it on. But again, you know, change is very much, as I was talking before, the easier you roll with it and know that you're going to be uncomfortable. And whenever I'm uncomfortable or, you know, my hands are sweaty, I'll say, you know, I'll know that I'm in a new area. And actually, to have those sorts of uncomfortable feelings is perfectly normal. And if you didn't have those feelings, you wouldn't be in a new area. You wouldn't be, okay, I'm being challenged. But you've got to know soon thereafter, usually sooner than we think, it's going to be over and we're just going to absorb it as part of, let's say, a new skill set. You know, maybe when you got your new computer, you went, or a Mac or something, you went, well, yeah, I'm never going to learn this, you know.
Right. You're going to change from a PC to a Mac.
Right. And then a month later, you're doing it with almost like driving without much thought.
Yeah. One of your points is that you need to be patient with change. I thought that was really good because, and that's really, really what you're talking about here. Don't get all upset about when something new comes into your life. Just, just work on it, deal with it and do the best you can. And, you know, everything will take care of itself.
It always does. Yeah.
It always does. Another thing I liked about the book, another statement was you said that there's always a safety net under us. We cannot ever fail. I mean, people don't realize that. You know, talk about that.
Yeah, that's a belief that I've had. I was in a different career for many, many years, and it was a very risky sort of, you know, some people considered a risky career, although I never felt it that way, you know. And I mean, that has been my experience that I guess if you could ask someone, you know, to you, what is falling? What is, you know, there's not a net there to catch me, what that would be like. I've never gone there. I've always been, something has always happened to save the day, and I've been extremely close. I've had, like most people, really great times financially and business-wise, and some extremely low times. And I always, thank God, always just get by, you know, sometimes by the skin of my teeth. One time I avoided a foreclosure on a house that I was losing because I had lost the job, the company had went under, and I literally avoided the foreclosure by 12 hours. Wow. Someone had come along and bought the home. So, you know, I have a great deal of faith, and a lot of times this is a sort of a self-propelling type of energy. And when you have faith and when you believe that there is a net, even though you can't actually see it, we do actually, I believe, manifest this net that is there. I don't believe that we were put on this earth to be terribly miserable and broke and poor all the time. But pretty much everything that is in our life, we have brought into our life as well.
Yeah, as you say, we're the creator of our life.
Definitely.
We're the artist and the creator of it.
I believe that. And even with the difficult times, but there's, you know, the old saying, you know, within that difficulty, within that trouble, that problem, there's always a gift within there. And there always is.
Yeah, and that gift is what we're supposed to learn,
right?
And that's really the fascinating part of the whole thing. Do you see a purpose in life? Do your guides say, "Hey, there is a purpose"?
I mean, for me, there's absolutely a purpose. My favorite thing to do is one of my favorite things to do is to work. You know, I love it because it helps. It takes me out of myself, and it seems to help and heal and assist others. And so, and I always find the conversation really interesting. I never stop learning. And so for me, that's really, really important because I get bored very quickly. So to me, it's a fantastic, you know, purpose to have. Yeah.
Now that's the purpose of this life, maybe. How about the purpose of life itself, existence? Do you see it? Do you see a larger purpose in, you know, why all this exists?
Oh, you know, sometimes I am certainly not above it all. I am in the ranks with everybody else. We've recently, my husband and I, lost a couple of really good friends. A couple of suicides, a couple of, you know, 2x4s up against the head, you know. And so life is, can be extremely painful, difficult. So I'm, you know, in the trenches with everybody else experiencing those really difficult, painful moments as well. My guides like to say, again, you know, some of them are very funny. No one gets out alive. You know, everybody has their cross to bear.
Right. No question.
You know,
see, I look at it as the larger view is the perfection of the soul. And I think that's what we're all here to do. And each life is just a little piece of that. And because right. there's some, you know, there's something that needs to be polished or something that needs to be dulled or sharpened or whatever. But I think there's a greater thing. And I think it's trying to reach perfection. And the beauty is we have an eternity to do it, but there's always something. And I think every spirit that ever existed has to have something to look forward to. I mean, you know, being eternal, which our souls are and our mm-hmm. all souls are. I mean, if you ever reached, you know, perfection, if you ever got there, there'd be nothing else. And then you're alive with nothing to do and you know, no goals. So I think it's a thing that we're all working on it, and you can never be perfected, no matter, you know. And if we could actually see and understand the most advanced spirits that exist, we would look at them and say, well, that's one perfect spirit. And they would say, no, we're not perfect yet. There's still other things that we can do.
Right.
Yeah. So I think there's a purpose, and that always keeps it alive for us. So it's an interesting situation we find ourselves in, and I think it just continues to be interesting. And I think that's another reason why some of the things that you've been talking about are so important, and not to get upset about it. This is we're in it for the long haul.
Right.
And we're just doing the best we can, and that's all you really need.
Yeah, that's very true. Well said. I completely agree. And we all know there's no such thing as perfection, certainly not on this earth.
Not on this earth, and I don't think anywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
You said that this planet and the universe is an illusion, something I agree with. What do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I always go back. Have you read Richard Bach's book, Illusion?
Yes.
Yeah. That's my, all time. That for me is the book is sort of like a guidebook. And so, and it's really ironic when I read the book later in life, because when I was younger, I remember being, a kid, 8, 9, 10, 11. And I remember thinking that, I don't know where this came from, but I remember thinking I was being filmed. And later on, I thought, well, maybe it's for what they call the book of life, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I really thought in all my early writings with my spirit guides, they always referred to this life as playing a role, as like this was a giant play or a movie, and we're actors playing these specific types of characters. And I really believe that. And many people say that this alleged life that we're living is the illusion, and what's really real is the life that we experience in the dream state when we access different dimensions and different planes of existence. I just think really this whole thing is just an illusion. I don't know. It's an experience. I don't know that it's real because, like you said, there is no such thing, I believe, as death. The soul continues. We go on. I talk to people that are on the other side all the time. There is just a continuation. One of the biggest continuations is love that never dies, that never goes away.
Yeah, that seems to be an overriding energy that drives everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different energies, and that's the positive ones are clearly, the ones you really want to grab a hold of, and love is probably the ultimate of all the energies.
Right, and it doesn't get much better than that.
No, it doesn't, and if you can do that, and if you can love other beings, and not just what we consider humans, but animals, plant life, and everything around us, I think that's a huge step in the right direction. We have, when you talk about illusion, what science tells us that, everything is really just air. And even, we look at a table and we knock on it and it seems like it's solid. But if you go and, you go down to the atoms and within the atoms, there's really nothing there except a little bit of energy running around.
Exactly.
So the whole thing has been masterminded to give us the appearance of differentiation. So things, this energy, it's all the same energy, but it can show up as a pond or a tree or a table or you and me. And it's kind of, there's a purpose behind it all. It's funny when I think of, other aspects of science where people say, well, there was this big explosion and 13.8 billion years ago, and this universe self-created itself, it kind of blows me away because, you know, how can dumb matter have organized itself in, you know, from the smallest atom to the largest galaxy and, you know, without some intelligence making it happen?
Right.
And right. So, you have to say, you know, you have to be, you know, practical about it and say, well, you know, this didn't just all of a sudden happen on its own. It can't possibly have.
You know, it's, I thought the same exact thing the other day because here in New Mexico, things are beginning to bloom. And so we had this big butterfly bush, this, you know, and to look at it one week, literally, I was looking at it and I think, God, this thing is dead. This is not looking good. This is just a bunch of sticks, you know, and literally, you know, days later from it are sprouting these fresh, beautiful green little leaves, you know, and I thought that's like a miracle happening right in front of me. How could that have possibly been, you know? They look like dead sticks one day, and the next thing it's blooming. Yeah. So, and to think that there's no, you know, intelligence behind that. And I mean, just look at cut open a cantaloupe, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's all fascinating, you know, and the certain patterns that it takes on, you know, it's really incredible.
Yeah, it really is. There's no question about it. You know, you talk about well-rounded. And the importance of being well-rounded. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think any you know, too much focus on one thing is not good. You know, I think we're here for many different reasons, and so a lot of times the guides will talk to my clients about balance, and there has to be balance. And a lot of people aren't balanced. They're either, you know, too dramatic, or they're worried, or they're caretakers. They take care of other people so they don't have to focus on themselves. And, you know, anything that is, you know, I spend 90% of my life doing this. Well, you know, that's really not in your highest good. That's not meant for your highest good. So they always are asking us to find some balance. And so, you know, there's work and then there's play and then there's taking care of our, you know, our physical bodies. So there's all these, you know, different activities that they always stress the importance of that balance.
Yeah, all work and no play is not a good thing. It's not a healthy way to live.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. The other thing I liked, one of the other things I liked, is you talk about limitations. And you say that if you argue for your limitations, you will create them. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's a direct quote from Richard Bach. Yeah. That's my favorite one. And so it's so true. And so if you think, you know, the strange dichotomy is that many times we have no control over so many things. And you say, okay, that's kind of scary. And then the scarier thing for many people is that we have an immense amount of control. So I know it sounds like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, and really, in many ways, I am. And so, again, it comes down to attitude. And right next to attitude for me is gratitude. So really, thoughts are things and words are power. And so it really, they always say, mind your words and mind your thoughts, because what you think about, you will tend to manifest or bring into your life, good or bad or indifferent. So I believe a lot of people I know speak of the universe differently, but I was taught at a young age that the universe really is just, you know, the universe is not God. The universe is just this big thing. And the universe works very simply. If I say I'm broke, I'm tired, I'm sick, you know, over and over, and inadvertently, you know, if you're not watching your thoughts, you know, this sort of mantra goes over and over in your mind. And the universe says, oh, she's sick, she's tired, she's lonely. Let's give her more of that. So that's a lot of it based in the law of attraction. that I learned, you know, only maybe 5 years ago. I didn't know that's what it was called, but it really is the law of attraction. What you think about, you get. What you focus on, you get. This is a thread. I believe it to be a universal law, very much so. So I think it's in your best interest to be really careful what you think about and what you focus on in your life.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think you get what the universe thinks you want. And if you want things to be bad, if it thinks you want things to be bad, then that's what it'll help you get. And if it thinks you want things to be good, then it'll help you do that. So we seem to get what we want in life. We don't really, you know, we got to be careful what we think we want, because we're liable to get it.
And right. Be careful what you ask for, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of people argue with that, and you know, they can get quite excited about it and say, you know, what are you saying? Are you saying that I want to be broke? And you know, well, actually, a lot of people, you know, love the drama of playing that particular role of, you know, I'm dramatic, I'm broke, feel sorry for me, and you know, all this sort of you know, stuff. And it really is just a choice. Who am I to say that that's not the role you want to play this time around, you know? Just know that you really are creating that.
I've often wondered if it's our subconscious that's doing it, or if it's some external source. I have the funny feeling it's our subconscious that is doing what we want, what it thinks we want. And if we can change that subconscious, in other words, if we sit around, we worry about getting cancer, for example, mm-hmm. if we worry enough about it, you know, our chances of getting it are a lot more than if we think we're not going to get it for one reason or another. And, you know, and I'm just using this as an example.
Right.
And so, you know, something is giving us what our mental state seems to be asking for. And I have a tendency to think it's our subconscious, but in all honesty, I really don't know where it's coming from. But I do know that you're absolutely right. It does something's giving it to us.
Well, you know, an interesting example of that is not too long ago, you know, and it's funny, people think that just because, you know, someone like myself or somebody else has this ability that it, you know, as if we're above all these, you know, really tough life lessons. It's really not so, you know. And there was a time not too long ago, I don't know how many years ago, it doesn't matter. And I was really struggling with, you know, we were struggling financially, and I was really letting this impact me. And it was very much like almost a constant slap in the face. And there was lots of worry around it. And finally, I got so saturated and so tired of being miserable and tired and worrying about, you know, this financial situation. I finally just said, oh, just to heck with it. Who cares? And the minute I flipped that switch, almost to the day, things started improving because I surrendered to it. I let go. I said, okay, all right, fine. All I can do is the best I can. There's nothing more I can do is give it 110%. And the rest I handed over and I let it go. And then from that day, my husband and I, has completely changed.
Yeah, that's it's kind of amazing how that works. You know,
it is.
Stop fighting it.
Yes, it is. And the drama and, you know, and the why and the what if, and, you know, so I very much understand that. I certainly don't look down on anybody for being in that state, because it's a very difficult place to be. And then when you come out of it, it's like, phew, you know, thank goodness.
Yeah, exactly. you talk about taking care of something besides yourself, something, someone. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I had I had horses for, actually, I'm in my first year of not having a horse in about 23 years. So I learned there's so much to learn from the idea of taking care of something besides yourself. And it doesn't really matter what it is. It could be a gerbil, right? It could be a fish. It doesn't have to be an 1,100-pound animal with a mind of its own. But it really does get you out of yourself because I think a lot of us tend to be self-centered. We're concerned about ourselves and this and that. And once you have the responsibility of taking care of somebody else or something else, you instantly and magically leave yourself. And it's such a relief, I found to be, and such a wonderful place to be. And so for me, it was very, it was always very healing and completely changing the attitude. Also, like when we first moved to Las Cruces, I took a job volunteering at a thrift store that benefits. We have a big no-kill shelter here in Las Cruces. And I was just sort of morose and out of sorts. And I started volunteering, I think, maybe two or three times a week at this thrift store, which was, always an opportunity to find treasures. And I would find that after I would come home for my little 3 or 4 hour shift, my attitude was completely different. I literally could not even remember why I was so upset when I left the house. I thought, what were you just whining and complaining about? And I thought, I really don't even know, you know? So it really serves such a great purpose to do for others or to take care of something else that really needs you to take care of it, whatever it is.
You know, when I read that in your book, what popped into my mind was, wouldn't it be nice if people like our elected leaders all felt that way, and our business leaders and our union leaders and our and the people that run the small little organizations, if everybody could have that attitude of, all right, this position that I'm in, this task that I'm doing, isn't really about me. Right. It's about other people, and it's your constituents, right? Whether you're a business leader or whatever, and if you could just get that feeling into people, the world would change in a very rapid way.
It definitely would, and the beauty of it is it's funny. It's almost self-serving because it's almost like giving a gift. Who gets more, the receiver of the gift, or I feel so good because I'm able to give you this gift? Who gets more out of it? I don't know that it really matters, but just doing for doing's sake and expecting nothing in return and just appreciating the opportunity that you can give is in of itself a gift.
No question about it. You point out in the book that our actions matter. What we do does matter. It matters to us. It matters to others. What we do is important.
My guides like to pop in there and they say, even when nobody's watching. Because
somebody is always watching. But
right.
It's the universe, maybe.
Right.
But
And the other thing, too, is that the most important thing is you're watching. Right. You're aware of it. You're keeping score. And so what you think of you is hugely more important than what anybody else thinks or what you got away with. Well, you really got away with really nothing because you know the score and you know what you did, So there's always somebody. Always somebody looking over your shoulder, even if it's yourself.
You talk about these guides and you say that they're with us as long as we're in this life, in this world. Do you go and talk to them after life? Did you ever talk to them about what happens to our relationship you know, Mr. Spirit Guide or Mrs. Spirit Guide after I die? Do you ever ask them that?
You know, our spirit guides, our relationship with our spirit guides continues after we die. You know, they're with us before we come into this world and they're with us as we exit and then when we're on the other side. So there's a continuation there. But you're asking what happens, what's going to happen to me when I die? I'm guessing that's what you're asking.
I was asking what your relationship with that. You answered it. What's your relationship with?
Yeah.
You know, with the guides and these are spirits that will probably know forever and ever. And they interface with it. They have a certain role with us now. And like everything and like everybody, the roles change over time as we change, as they change. But these will be souls, and they're souls. They're souls like us, maybe more advanced, but I assume they're more advanced. They certainly know more than we do. Then they're in a position to know more because they're in the spirit world and they haven't had their memory washed away like we have.
Right. And so a lot of times, you know, the spirit guides, I always say that they get the full picture. They have the full panoramic view. And those of us down here on Earth, you know, us little worker bees, you know, we have sort of a tunnel vision. You know, we don't have that peripheral vision. We can't see the big picture. And they really can. And so that's where the trust comes in. Because they really do see the big picture. And again, when I do readings, everything that comes through, I always tell people is they're here to help and to assist. That's it.
Wait, what are you doing? We're about running out of time here. What should people know about you? You give readings, talk a little bit about, you know, what you and how people can get in touch with you.
Sure. The easiest way is my website, which is lornaadams.com, and it's just my name, lornaadams.com. And on the website, there's probably more information than you would like. There's articles channeled by guides, written by me and my guides. There's all sorts of information. And so what I do during psychic readings is I speak with your spirit guides. And again, they're here to help and assist with any and all areas of your life. And many times, people who have passed will pop in during our reading to make themselves known. And you're also free during a reading to ask, you know, where's my mom? You know, how is she? She passed a year ago or 20 years ago. And I ask them to come forward. And so that's the process of a reading. Always interesting, always fascinating. And, you know, there's nothing that you can't ask about. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Lorna, it's been great having you on the show. I encourage people to read your book and get on your show and get on your website and certainly have some readings if they're so inclined. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dave. My pleasure.
Obtaining wisdom is a long process, as no one can bestow it on us. The more we talk and hear each other's ideas, the more we'll be able to mature our own views. Questions and answers from the chat room for today's show and other shows will be posted on my website at davidgagan.com. You can ask other questions directly on the website through the contact section, and I'll answer those as well. Also, I cover all these subjects and many more in my book, The Endless Journey. I look forward to sharing our thoughts every Friday morning at 9 a.m. United States Eastern Time here on W4CY.com. You can also find all the old episodes on iHeartRadio at iHeart.com. Truth is indeed stranger than fiction, and it turns out to be an amazingly good news story. We all have a great destiny ahead of us. Let me leave you with one last thought. You are a unique spirit having a life experience. You are far more important in the grander scheme of things than you can possibly realize. Enjoy your life. You've earned it.